And so what I would like to do in this talk is to indicate that for a very wide class of semi-abelian varieties, you can have a very elegant description of normal subobjects and semi-direct products, which mimics exactly the classical description of that in the case of groups. So in this talk, I shall restrict my attention to an algebraic variety in the sense of universal algebra, or if you prefer, to the category of models of some algebraic theory in the sense of Lovere. If we have such an algebraic category, we know that the initial algebra, zero, is the algebra of constants, and the final algebra is the singleton algebra. So the category is pointed as a zero object, zero equals one, when you have a unique constant zero, and this will be a blanket assumption for my talk. We have a unique constant zero in the theory. And I shall work in a first approach in the context of a Maltzeff variety, that is, we have a ternary operation with the axioms which have been recalled already several times, P x y y equals x. Now, of course, the prototype of such a situation is always the case of groups where you take the ternary operation to be x minus y plus z. This is obviously a Maltzeff operation. Now, if we are in this situation, I want first to study the kernel object. So, a subobject, let me call it normal for the time being, when, well, to have the same notations as in the notes, I put B there and A over there, when B is the kernel of some morphism F, there exists some F such that B is the kernel of F. Of course, the subobjects which are kernels can be equivalently defined as the subobjects which are the equivalence class of zero for some congruence on A. But let us pay good attention to the fact that, in general, you don't have at all a bijection between the subobjects which are kernels and the congruences on A. Various congruences on A can give rise to the same equivalence class of zero. Think, for example, of pointed sets. The equivalence class of zero in the case of pointed sets determines, well, the equivalence class of zero and nothing else. So it will be a property of semi-abelian varieties that you have a bijection between congruences on A and normal subobjects of A. Now, just a point of notation. Due to these examples of groups, I shall use very often the simplified notation when I have a Maltzeff operation. X minus y will indicate P of x, y, 0, and x plus y will indicate P of x, 0, y, where P is a Maltzeff operation. Of course, let's be careful. Those subtraction and addition do not have all the usual axioms, since we have only a Maltzeff operation, not a group operation. Now, I want to focus on that notion of normal subobject and characterize it in the case of a Maltzeff variety, which is pointed. So, how do we characterize normal subobjects in the case of groups? Well, in the case of groups, it's very well known. When you take A in A, B in B, you must have A plus B minus A in B. What's the situation in the case of rings? Well, in the case of rings, you say, I take A in A, B in B, I must have AB in B, and I must have BA in B. B must be a two-sided ideal. So, is there something common between those three situations which we can expect to become a characterization for a Maltsev variety? Well, look here. I have a first operation, which is A plus B minus A in the case of groups. In the case of rings, I have two different operations. Theta 2 of AB is AB, or theta 3 of AB is BA. Observe that in all cases of these operations, I have the property that theta I of A0 is 0. If you take B equals 0, you get 0. If you take B equals 0, you get 0. You take B equals 0, you get 0. And the condition you need is that for all A in A and for all B in B, you want theta I of AB to be in B. It's one way to rephrase the conditions which are on the blackboard. In this talk, I would be happy if I could sell you the following definition. I shall say that an algebraic operation theta in various variables, and I shall use different letters to indicate them because we have variables of two different types. So I take an arbitrary operation, and I shall say that this operation is normal in the variables y when it satisfies the axiom if you replace the variables y by 0, you get 0. That's what I call a normal operation. And my first theorem is, in the situation of my assumptions, the pointed Maltsev variety, that the subobject is normal when for every such theta, for all A1, AN in A, and for all B1, BN in B, theta of those things is still in B. So, which generalizes at once the situation which we have here in the case of groups or in the case of rings. So, why is that the case? Well, in one direction it is fairly easy if this subobject is the kernel of some morphisms. It's definitely obvious to write down the proof that this property is satisfied. It's indeed in the other direction that we have something to prove. So let us assume that this condition is satisfied for the subobject, and let us prove that it is the kernel of something. For that, I consider in A, product A, the subobject which is generated by all the pairs AA, where A is, of course, an element of A, and all the pairs B0, where B is an arbitrary element of B. So I take the subobject generated by those pairs. This subobject, of course, contains the diagonal. So this subobject, because I am in a Malthus variety, is a congruence on A. And I want to prove that B is the equivalence class of zero for that congruence, that is the kernel of the quotient map of A by this congruence. To do this, let us first observe that indeed B is contained in the equivalence class of zero because I have done everything which is necessary to get this property. So I have now to prove that the equivalence class of zero is contained in B. So let me take A in the equivalence class of zero. I must prove that A belongs to B. Okay, if A is in the equivalence class of zero, this pair is in the congruence. So this pair is thus in the subalgebra generated by all those things. So this pair can be written as an algebraic combination of things of the form A1, A1, B1, 0, up to Bn, 0. It's an algebraic combination of generators. So this means that if you look at the second component, you have 0, which is equal to tau of A1, An, B1, Bn. And if you look at the first component, zero. Thank you. And the first component tells me that A is tau of A1, An, B1, Bm. Of course, I would appreciate now to use this condition and to say, okay, well, because of the condition, this element should be in B. But this operation tau has absolutely no reason to be a normal operation in the variables y. But it doesn't matter very much. Define a new operation, which is the operation tau minus, where minus is the operation which is deduced from the Malthus operation, minus tau of x1, xn, and 0. So now this operation obviously is normal in the variables y, and moreover, it has the obvious property that if you have tau of a1, an, which is 0, if you get a 0 here, then theta and tau become equal. So, indeed, instead of tau, I can equivalently use theta, which is normal, and get the conclusion that my element A belongs to B because it is the theta of those elements. So I have a characterization of normal subobjects in this context. Fine. Now I would like to switch to the more precise case of semi-abelian varieties, which turn out to be, in particular, Malthus, pointed Malthus varieties. Yes, maybe just an observation about the case of groups, but okay, the observation is not very deep. In the case of groups of course, we know that to check normality, it suffices to work with the single operation x plus y minus x. It was a single operation that we needed to check that the subgroup is normal. But okay, everybody knows that if we say something about the addition in groups, while all the other operations of the theory of groups are somehow variations on the addition. So it's not amazing that we can reduce our attention to this single operation in the case of groups. But of course, we can use the global definition with all the possible normal operations. Okay. What do we call a semi-abelian category? Well, first of all, we need finite limits. Well, certainly this is the case in a category of algebras. It is always complete. We need finite coproducts. Certainly, this is the case. My category V is co-complete. We need exactness in the sense of bar. Of course, all algebraic categories are exact. We need the category to be pointed, so to have a unique constant in the theory. And finally, we need the last axiom. The easiest way to write it down is to express the split short five lemma. What does this mean? If you take exact sequences, so the image of an arrow, I mean a variety, the image of an arrow is the kernel of the next one. And if you take a morphism of exact sequence, okay, the ordinary short five lemma tells you that if those two morphisms are isomorphism, the central one is an isomorphism as well. The split short five lemma is a special case of that. We are asking less. We are asking this property for split exact sequences. This when the epimorphisms which are there admit sections, and those sections make the whole diagram still commutative. So we require that property, the short five lemma, in this case of split exact sequences. This is the last axiom for a semi-abelian variety. So for semi-abelian variety is a variety which is pointed and satisfies the split short five lemma. Now, a very important fact about semi-abelian varieties is that if you have the split short five lemma, you have the short five lemma in full generality. You have also the nine lemma. You have also the snake lemma. You have also the neuter isomorphism theorems, and so on. But it is not the topic of my talk to develop these things, which have been proved by Dominic Bourne. Let me mention that this split short five lemma admits a characterization in terms of operations. So this is a result which is due to Bourne and Gianelidze, in any case, which is in the preprint of them. You can characterize the algebraic varieties which are semi-abelian. Of course, they are pointed. So you have a single constant, and then you have a family of binary operations. Think them as subtraction. You should think of them as subtraction because we need the axiom that, well, they must satisfy the axiom that alpha I of XX equals zero. And they need n plus 1 array operation, which satisfies the axiom alpha 1 of x, y up to alpha n of x, y, y equals x. And so an algebraic theory yields a semi-abelian variety of algebras if it has a single constant and operations satisfying that. So maybe it is useful to write down this definition in the special case where the number n is equal to 1. So you have one single operation. This is a special case, but all the examples, all the natural examples which I know, work with n equals 1. So you take one single operation. Allow me to write it down as a subtraction. You have one operation beta with two variables, then allow me to write it down as an addition, and you need the axioms that x minus x is 0 and that x minus y plus y equals x. So this looks more easy to understand, and you see immediately, for example, that every algebraic theory which contains a group operation, of course, satisfies those conditions. Let us also observe that this situation implies that the theory is always Malthus. If you have a semi-abelian variety, it is necessarily a Malthus variety. Well, just define P of X, Y, Z equals beta of alpha 1 X, Y up to alpha N X, Y, and Z using those operations. You can rephrase this axiom as P of X, Y, Y equals X. This is the axiom which is there. And if you compute P of X, X, Y, you get beta of, well, XX, this is 0 by the first axiom, so you have all zeros and then Y. But those zeros, you can write them as alpha I of YY. And again, by the second axiom, this is Y. So a semi-abelian variety is necessarily Malthus. Fine. Now let us come back to the case of groups and to the Malthus operation corresponding to groups. I remind you a well-known property of Malthus operations. So if I take an arbitrary Malthus operation, the following conditions are equivalent. Comes from a group operation as above. Second is associative, meaning if you take X, Y, Z, U, T, this is the same as P, X, Y, Z, U, T. And three, the following two cancellation rules are satisfied. P of P, x, y, t, t, z, twice the same thing, is p of x, y, z, and p of x, t, 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 y, z, same thing on the other side. You can cancel t, and it remains p of x, y, z. This characterizes the Malthoff operation coming from a group operation. Pointed, yes. In a pointed variety, Ma. I still have my blanket assumption. Yes, sorry, Mike. I forgot to repeat it, but this is pointed. This is pointed. And so I want now to assume, well, if you prefer, that the Malthoff operation comes from a group operation, but I don't need fully this assumption. I need now the assumption that one of those two axioms holds. This is semi-associativity, because the conjunction of those two things is the associativity. Now, a Malthoff category is generally not semi-abelian, but this implies always a semi-abelian. So Malthoff varieties are not semi-abelian, but semi-associative Malthoff varieties are semi-abelian. And how do you prove it? Well, you just consider the subtraction and the addition corresponding to the Malthoff operation, and you verify that they satisfy exactly the condition of the Born-Janelidze characterization of semi-abelian varieties. So this is stronger than being semi-abelian, and semi-abelian is itself stronger than being Malthoff, but none of the implication goes in the reverse direction. Okay. So this was for those semi-associative Malthoff varieties, and I would indicate at once that they satisfy also a very important property, distributivity. Did I get it? Yeah. The congruence distributivity, what does that mean? Well, this means that when you perform the quotient by a congruence, all the equivalence classes are in bijection. But okay, this is a quite trivial property, but this property is not valid, for example, for a Malthoff variety. But you need semi-associativity to get it, well, at least. Semi-associativity is sufficient to get it. Yeah? Congruence, uniformity. Sorry, uniformity. Congruence uniformity, it is called. So that means that if you have A and you divide by a congruence, the equivalence class of A is always in bijection with the equivalence class of B. And I mean a bijection, just a bijection. Like in the case of groups, you know, all the equivalence classes are in bijection. They are not subgroups. They are in bijection. Okay, this property is rather trivial to prove. It's a triviality to prove. But okay, you just have to observe that you need some additional axiom to get it. The ordinary proof, which says if I take an x, I go on x plus a, and if I take a y, I go on y minus a. this proof works perfectly well to show that you have bijections. But in order to have those bijections, you need some properties connecting the plus and the minus, and those properties turn out to be satisfied in the semi-associative case, but not in general. So, now I switch to the case of semi-direct products in those varieties. So again, in the paper of Born and Gianelizzi, you have the description of the semi-direct product in the case of a semi-abelian category. So the idea is, if we have our variety Z, and, okay, maybe it would be useful, I don't know if this is well known to everybody, but maybe to recall it in the case of groups. So if I take a group which I write with a multiplication, another one which I write with an addition, I am interested in the situation where I have an action of the group G on the group B, which satisfies the usual axioms like 1 times B equals B, G, G prime B is G, G prime B, G, B plus B prime is G, B plus G, B prime. And one construct the semi-direct product of B and G, which is just as a set the Cartesian product and with the multiplication given by the product of two pairs is B plus GB prime GG prime. That's the semi-direct product, which is important because it gives rise to a split exact sequence. So you have the obvious inclusions in the product, and you have the projections, and you get a split exact sequence. So this construction can be performed in every semi-abelian category in the following way. Fix an object G, and look, as Dominic did it, at the category of points of V over G. That is, you look at all the split epimorphism over G. You go to V, just if you call this P and S a section, you apply this to the kernel of P. The kernel of P. You have a left adjoint to this. The left adjoint is just taking an object B on. You take B plus G. You go to G by the pair zero identity and the inclusion of G there. This gives you the left adjoint to that. Since you have a left adjoint, you have a monad. You have a monad, and it turns out that this category is in fact monadic. So in fact you have, in every semi-abelian category, an equivalence of categories. So if you start with X, P, S, you go to the kernel of P, which is naturally provided with the structure of a TG algebra, like for every adjunction, and this functor is an equivalence of categories. This is a very, very important property of semi-abelian varieties, and as George mentioned, it is one way to define a G module in those situations and to recapture the monadicity of this construction. But the point is that if we take now an arbitrary algebra over there, it corresponds thus to something here, to some XPS. So what is that thing? If you look at the case of groups, what you find is precisely this. If you look at the case of groups, what you find is the semi-direct product of the group G and B. Of course, in this situation, we have the fact that, in the case of groups, taking an action in the sense, in the elementary sense which I have given here, is very obviously the same thing, suffices to write it down, as taking an algebra for the monad. So the group action in the usual sense are exactly the same thing as the actions of the monad which I have given here. So taking an algebra for the monad is just taking a group B provided with an action of G in the usual sense. And so there corresponds to it a point, and the point which corresponds to it is exactly this point here. So it is sensible to name the object part of it the semi-direct product of the algebra B Xi and the object G which was given first. Now, I am still trying to sell my definition of normal operation. So, I would like now to give, in the context of semi-associative Maltzev varieties, which are special semi-abelian varieties, I would like to give an alternative definition of a TG algebra, which looks very much like this. And so, a TG algebra is the same thing as giving. So, I take an object B in V, and for every operation which is normal in the y variables, I give myself an action like this. So let me write down g1 gn star theta b1 bm the value of this action. In the case of groups, if I use this normal operation with only two variables, I get indeed a mapping from G product B to B. Of course, I need two obvious axioms which translate the axioms of a monad. That is, if you have something like that, and if you replace the YN again by algebraic combination given by normal things, okay, you put all the X variables together, all the Y variables together, and so on, and the axiom for identity. So there are straightforward axioms, but you can define in such a variety the notion of TG algebras in this way. You need an action for every operation which is normal in the Y variables. And then, theorem. If you have this, this is, of course, as a set, the Cartesian product, and now I have to take alpha, an array operation of the theory, and I must define alpha on the semi-direct product. To do this, this operation alpha has, of course, absolutely no reason to be normal in some variables. So I define first a new operation alpha bar, which has twice the number of variables, and which is, you have to write it in the correct order, I take the addition, again, the addition corresponding to the Malsev operation or to a Malsev operation, which I choose, minus alpha of x1, xn. Now, this operation, of course, is now normal in the variables y. If you put y equals 0, you will find 0. And you define alpha of b1, g1, bn, gn. So if you take elements in the semi-direct product, you have to define alpha of this. And this is simply, you take the elements there, you perform this operation for the normal operation alpha bar. That's the first component. And the second one is, as usual, alpha applied to the G components. So that's a theorem which tells us that in semi-associative Malsev varieties, we can define the notion of a module, of a G module, by giving actions as usual, but one action for every normal operation. And we can define the structure by just taking the Cartesian product and putting on it a very, very, very symmetric formula. You see, that's maybe a little bit amazing that we define alpha by something which is absolutely symmetric in all the variables. No variable has a special role. While if you look at the case of groups and this formula, clearly this formula is highly unsymmetric. And so maybe I should conclude with that observation. Why is it the case that this very symmetric formula, which is valid in full generality, gives you as particular case the very unsymmetric formula of groups? Well, there are two observations to be made in order to get that. So let me take first of all, if you view B and G as subgroups of the semi-direct products, what they are, this one is even a normal subgroup, and this one is an ordinary subgroup for the section. So you can take this element GB, the action of G on the element B. View them as elements in the semi-direct product. Okay, as an element of the semi-direct product, this is the pair GB1, where 1 is the unit of G. And it is trivial to observe that this is exactly the product of those three pairs. So this is exactly my normal operation theta applied to 0G and B1. So which I can write is, if I view G and B as elements of the semi-direct product. Now, if I take for alpha the addition alpha bar is now an operation with two n variables, with four variables. So it will be something like that. What must I do? I must take y1 plus x1 plus y2 plus x2. I must take the sums. I must take the sums, and I must apply alpha, which is again the sum. must take the sums, and I must apply alpha, which is again the sum, minus the sum of x1 and x2. But okay, I have the plus x2, and here I shall have minus x2 minus x1, so this will give me y1 plus x1 plus y2 minus x1. The x2 will be cancelled, and so this will give me exactly the y1 plus theta of x1 y2, theta of x1 y2, which is there. And then you see immediately that if you apply, do I have space to do this? If you apply, no, there's no space. Alpha bar. G1 to G, G prime, B, B prime, you will find B plus theta of G, B prime, this is B plus G, B prime, as we have seen. And in this way, you recapture the classical definition. Okay, I stop there.